Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gone through in the playoffs, going seven games with the Sixers, winning that series the way that they did. They were down in all three of their series. Hell, they lost the first game against the Orlando Magic. 209, absolutely no one cares about their injuries. Oh, I will give you that, but that's still an issue. I don't need to take up for the Golden State Warriors either. Like, you know, if anybody has an issue with the injuries, like, those are just the facts. I'm not even, this isn't even me rampantly speculating, which I've been known to do from time to time. That's just the score. Nobody cares, though. It's the Golden State Warriors. This team's won three NBA titles. They've been in five straight NBA finals. Nobody is going to throw a pity party for the Golden State Warriors. It's not happening. I'll take it a step further. Outside of the Bay Area, the NBA is rooting for their downfall actively. Because they know, unless, you know, until the Warriors actually start losing some games, the rest of the NBA basically has no prayer of winning titles. Now, this is starting to change now. The Warriors have a lot of, a lot of things that are going to happen this offseason as far as free agents, etc. Culminate that with the run the Raptors have been on. It could be changing right in front of our eyes. We could be witnessing the end of this run that the Warriors have been on. What do you want to call it, a dynasty or not? I say it is. If you go to five straight NBA finals and you win three titles, that's a dynasty. Like, and we can quibble about what constitutes a dynasty all day long, but the reality is, this team could be staring down the barrel of the end of the line here for this group. Now, I do believe they'll still be competitive next year. I mean, as long as you got Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and I would assume Klay Thompson, you're always going to have a shot. But I just think that collectively the rest of the NBA has gotten better. And the Warriors have shown a level of vulnerability that, you know, we haven't seen in years past. And it goes back to the regular season. I mean, they laid some clunkers this season. They really did. And they've played a lot of basketball, and it's just all kind of catching up with them. And like I said, I used the analogy earlier. It's like they're kind of running out of gas on the last lap of the Indianapolis 500. And it's unfortunate because, you know, you could say what you want, man. But this Warriors team, they've worked their asses off. Okay, they really have. And regardless of how it ends up, Warriors fans should be really proud of this team, but boy, it sure would be nice if they ended up with a three-peat. Let's go to Moose in the Fillmore. Go ahead, Moose.
Hey, Covey, I wanted to touch on a few points. I'm going to make it real quick.
Sure,
number one, I'm not a big fan of Bob Fitzgerald, but he made a really good analogy. If I'm racing Usain Bolt with a bum leg, I beat Usain Bolt, I am not the fastest man in the world. Usain Bolt on a bum leg is still the fastest man in the world. He just had a bum leg.
Right.
Same idea with the Warriors. My other quick point. I'm glad that people are calling in and actually giving the Toronto Raptors some credit. These guys are playing an unbelievable brand of basketball. It's fun to watch them play. They're playing the brand that the Warriors would play had they not be injured.
Right.
It's simple as that. The other thing is that as fans, yes, it sucks, but you know what it sucks more for is the players. These guys have worked their asses off. They deserve a three-peat. Yes, they're injured, and there's no excuses. It happens. It's part of the attrition of sports, but you know what? KD was painting his picture in this playoffs. It would have been the most unbelievable story ever had he not been hurt. It just sucks for these guys more. It sucks for guys like Cousins, Curry, Draymond Green, how hard they've worked to get to this point, to see a better team beat them. It's not the end of the world because, you know what, it's actually a better team. They actually are playing a great brand of basketball, Toronto Raptors. They deserve all the credit in the world. I love my Warriors. I want them to win it, but it is the end of the road because of these injuries. And, it's reality. It can't go forever. We knew at some point this was going to happen. It just sucks that it's happening at this point for those guys. As fans, we got to get over it, guys. We have nothing else invested in it, right?
Good stuff, man. That's a great call, Moose. And, I mean, so many people coming down my road on the Chilton Autobody text line. I'm not a Warriors fan. I don't have a rooting interest in this. I don't care if they win or not. I'm not going to lose a wink of sleep. I am going to give you objective analysis. I'm going to tell you the truth. I mean, come on. Like, you watch the NBA, right? The Golden State Warriors at full strength. This would still be a good series because the Raptors are a damn good team. I said that coming in. The Raptors have five guys in their starting lineup that are all NBA defensive caliber, okay? Period. And if you can D up like that, you throw Fetty VanVleet in there and Serge Ibaka's renaissance. Yeah, they're legit. That's why they won four straight against the Bucks, who are a damn good team. That's why they ousted the Sixers in seven games. They're a tough squad. But you can't tell me DeMarcus Cousins on a torn quad, Kevin Durant not playing, Kevon Looney on a fractured rib, Klay Thompson on a pulled hamstring, Andre Iguodala's got more injuries than, you know, the little dude from Operation. Remember that game where Operation? I mean, come on. It's just reality. Nobody cares. I was going to feel sorry for him. But you can't tell me that's not why they're having problems in this series. It's so obvious. Do you watch the games? Let's go to Chachi in San Lorenzo.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to say that I think with this upcoming game, the Warriors are going to play loose because it's either win or go home. They're just going to go balls out and just have to play hard. But what I wanted to hopefully maybe you guys can kind of wallow in this suggestion. But who did Kerr play for in his first championship run?
Yeah, he played for the Bulls.
Yeah, he played for Phil Jackson, right?
Correct. Yep.
What did Phil Jackson run? He ran the triangle.
Yep. Offense. Yep.
What happens if you could run Bogut and another big, say Boogie, and you have Draymond, you have small forward, Clay and Curry running point guard, and you just run the triangle offense. Throw something that nobody has seen the Warriors do that year. It seems like Toronto is equipped just to handle the Warriors. They switch. You just run high shots around the field goal with those two bigs. I mean, you're probably going to be susceptible on the transition defense. But if you just get...
Dude, Chachi, I love... Thanks. Hey, brother, I appreciate you calling. I love you checking in. There's just no way. They're not putting two bigs out there. I mean, he can barely rely on DeMarcus Cousins to play 15 minutes right now. Like, DeMarcus Cousins, with all due respect, DeMarcus Cousins is a liability right now. Like, the fact that Kevon Looney played as many minutes as he did in Game 4 tells you all you need to know about the Warriors' situation at center. The fact that Kevon Looney's playing on one arm tells you all you need to know about the Warriors' situation at center right now. The way you combat the Raptors' size is with speed and athleticism. Unfortunately, they're running low on that as well. All right, a lot of people checking in. 510, we don't come here for your truth. This is the entertainment business. We like the show even when we know everyone is an actor. No, sorry, I'm going to tell the truth, okay? I'm going to have fun. Those are the two goals. Have fun, tell the truth, okay? 240, dude, it's not a dynasty. I don't know why y'all on this station keep saying that. Bunch of homers, I guess. My definition of a dynasty is a 4 or 5 championships in a row. They haven't even won 3 in a row. Maybe a regular season dynasty. Woo! 240, heating it up. That's a hot take. We do appreciate you listening. All right, we're going to talk a little Niners minicamp coming up on the other side. And then after Jennifer Lee Chan, we're going to go balls to the wall. Golden State Warriors talk for like an hour and 40 minutes. John Dickinson's going to join us. But I wanted to spend a little time with Jennifer Lee Chan, talk a little bit about 49ers minicamp. We'll do that for a few minutes. So keep it right here. It's 95.7 The Game. The Homers!
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
Yeah, we're just getting lucky on a Sunday morning. See, because of the Daft Punk. All right, Jennifer Lee Chan from NBC Sports is going to join us in a hot second. Before we do, though, I just want to get you a little bit of breaking news. Per Chris Haynes just tweeted this out. Kevin Durant will be cleared to practice today. We talk about practice. Yeah, practice. Kevin Durant will be cleared to practice, and if he can practice, you would assume that means he can play. We don't want to infer. We'll wait for the announcement, but according to Chris Haynes, Kevin Durant will be cleared to practice today. Superman rolling into the phone booth, taking off his sunglasses. Let's go. All right, time to talk a little 49ers mini camp. One of our favorites, Jennifer Lee Chan, NBC Sports, joining us for a few minutes, 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey with you. Hey, Jennifer, happy Sunday morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm halfway through my cup of coffee, so I think I'm okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I had to see. I went on at 8 a.m. today, so I crushed that my caffeinated beverage at about 7 a.m. So I'm thinking about going for round two, Jennifer. I mean, there's nobody to stop me, so I think I might have to do it. Let's talk.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's start with Joe Staley's contract extension. And, you know, I saw the tweet that you put out about the continuity around that offensive line and just how long guys are signed up. I mean, it makes plenty of sense. Like, You sign a franchise quarterback to a long-term deal. The key to consistency and you know, playing quality football, really at any sport, is continuity. Look at the New England Patriots and the 49ers O-line. They've got these guys inked up for a long time, and it seems like they're pretty happy with the group they've got.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe Staley is obviously the key piece in that group. Mike McGlinchey did a great job as a rookie, but he still has a long way to go. But Joe Staley really is the anchor of that group. And, I mean, you look at, you know, I mean, he hates when we all call him an old man. But, I mean, for his age, he is playing at an incredibly high level. And, I mean, everybody's happy that he's going to be a 49er for life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's one of the leaders of that team, clearly. How many more quality years do you think Mr. Staley has left? We know he's not an old man. I don't want to say that. But, I mean, what are we thinking here? Two? Three?
I mean, well, he's locked down for the rest of his contract. He says he's going to play till his legs fall off, is what he said at the franchise on Wednesday. So, I mean, all we can do is hope for Joe Staley's health. And what was great for him is Mike McGlinchey coming in and kind of breathing life into him. I mean, you know, after going through training camp, how many times he's gone through it, I'm sure it's hard to keep your energy level up, but McGlinchey has done such a great job and kind of like revitalizing him and bringing energy to him. And, you know, those two are inseparable at practice. They're inseparable pregame. It was the perfect draft choice for the Niners to keep Staley around and keep him kind of energized and, you know, useful.
Yeah, no, I saw him, you know, as everybody did down at the Shark Tank during the playoffs, and Mike McGlinchey waterboarding himself with beer, which was kind of an interesting play, I thought. But no, you could tell, though, I saw him, you know, away from the cameras down in the hallway, and you could tell those guys were just having the time of their life. You know, Dante Pettis, you know, Trent Taylor, the whole O-line was there, and just it seemed like those guys are having a lot of fun. There's a lot of continuity, and I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. I feel like, Jennifer, you know, for a team that's gone 10-22 the last couple of years, there's a really good vibe and an aura of positivity around this team. You know, with teams that haven't been doing a lot of winning, usually it's kind of different. And I know hope springs eternal, it's a new year, but I think there's a real reason for optimism. I don't think that it's contrived. I feel like these guys genuinely are confident about what they can accomplish this year.
You know, I've always been, I've said it a lot, that the mentality in the locker room with the records they've had in the last few years is so much more positive than when Harbaugh was there and they were 8-8. Maybe because the expectations were so high at that time that they were going to go to another NFC championship game, that they kept running into the postseason. But the attitude in the locker room is incredibly different from when it was Harbaugh's last year. They're positive. Even when they started with, you know, 0-9, they still had, like, you know, and not that they're happy to lose, but there's just still like a positive mentality in the locker room. They, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, have done such a great job of building a positive locker room. And you can really see it when the times are challenging, when they're facing a losing record, when, you know, they just don't play to their ability. They, you know, while again, they're not happy about it, they still, you know, stand behind each other. They have each other's backs, which is really kind of an incredible thing.
How's Jimmy G looking? Everything that I've heard is, you know, he's got the brace on and, you know, but the mobility's still there. I think, you know, obviously until he starts getting reps in actual games, that'll be the biggest test. That'll be the biggest hurdle. But what's your assessment so far, Jennifer?
He looks like he's got the same speed. He's getting strength in his leg again. And, I mean, he still has the same release that he had before. So his passes look accurate. He's being aggressive with his throws. He's threading the needle at times. He's taking chances. So it's good to see that there's not that mental hesitation, which is kind of what you would expect to see from a guy who sat out for over, you know, almost a year. He's doing drops. He's rolling out. He doesn't have any issues with mobility at all. So obviously he's only participating in 7-on-7s, and but it looks like all signs are that he will be ready to practice in 11s with a pass rush, which will be a lot different this year in training camp.
And it sounds like, I know the quote from Shane Day is he expects Garoppolo to be a full go for training camp. Was that always, you know, I know it was always the hope, but was that always kind of the track that he was on?
Yeah, I think it was. There's never been any other discussion out there. That was the goal, and that looks like to be. Like, it looks like he's on schedule for that.
DeForest Buckner, we've heard about a potential contract extensions in the offing for him. Would you expect that to happen like at some point before training camp? How do you see that playing out?
Personally, I think it'd be much more advantageous for the team to do it before he goes through a season where he probably will have an even better year than last year. Obviously, he did really well after he had a career best sack year statistically. And looking forward, I mean, with the addition of Dee Ford on one side and Nick Bosa on the other, he is set to have a really huge year. I mean, you look at what Chris Jones did in Kansas City with Dee Ford on the side, and DeForest is really set up for a huge year. So I think it would behoove the team to get it done before the season starts, because he will have way more leverage after.
Yeah, and I saw your tweet. It's so good when DeForest Buckner gave Dee Ford his notebook. Very first note on the page, I can't be blocked. And, you know, nothing wrong with a little positive reinforcement, Jennifer, but DeForest Buckner legitimately can't be blocked, right?
Well, it's going to be really hard when you can't double-team everybody on that line.
Yeah.
You know, DeForest is one of those guys who is so soft-spoken and very quiet off the field. But he's kind of come into himself the last couple of years. I think it was kind of being, you know, the respectful rookie and second-year guy. But he's become more vocal, a much bigger leader in the defensive line room. And it's really kind of cool to see that growth. And he's very supportive of his teammates. He is, you know, gaining a ton of knowledge from the likes of Dee Ford and the other leaders. So from Richard Sherman as well. And it's just really good to see that kind of, you know, that kind of arc of growth. And I think he's really going to be set up for a huge year this season.
I want to talk to you about the secondary, Jennifer. By the way, we're talking to Jennifer Lee Chan, at Jennifer Lee Chan on Twitter. Great follow for 49ers fans. What kind of leash would you expect to have for a guy like Akilah Witherspoon and Adrian Colbert to have this year? Both flashed in their rookie year. Both got hurt in their sophomore year after having some tough moments, shall we say. What kind of wiggle room do they have? I know that the 49ers have Verrett. I know that they still got plenty of guys in the secondary as well. I mean, a lot of them have extensive injury histories, mind you. But those two guys in particular, I feel like they have the highest hopes for. But I also feel like that leash can't be too long given how year number two went for them.
Well, I think for Akilah, Jason Verrett obviously is going to be in competition with him. Sherman's pretty much got the one side locked down. But I also have heard that Akilah is playing much better, practicing much better this season. I think he's learned from his last season, and he realizes that he can't rest on the fact, you know, rest on his laurels. He's got to keep improving, keep getting better. And you can see him, his mentality change just, you know, a little bit. Obviously, it's only OTAs and mini campus next week, but he really has kind of refocused, and I think he realizes that, you know, what happened last year will be changed by a different mentality this year. Sherman still talks to him. They are very close. They work together on the field. And I think, you know, he could be set for, you know, more growth, more improvement this season. Adrian Colbert obviously had a tough year last year also with the injury. So I think while they're going to have competition at those positions, I think the added pass rush is going to be able to help those guys out. They aren't going to have to cover as long, so that'll change how they play as well. So they can play a little bit more aggressively. They won't have to cover for 4 or 5 seconds, which hopefully will be 2 or 3 with those guys on the defensive line making quarterbacks a little bit more unstable back there. So I think all of those things together will help both of those players.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers, Jennifer. You know, the 49ers go Deebo Samuel in the second round, Jalen Hurd in the third round. I think Jalen Hurd's probably a little bit more of a project at this point. Deebo, I think, could be ready to plug and play. But sometimes we see that the learning curve for wide receivers at the pro level can be a little steep, and impact rookies at that position are typically few and far between. Marquise Goodwin looking to have a bounce back year. Dante Pettis, you would expect to take steps in year two. I want to ask you about Jordan Matthews, though. I mean, here's a guy that's had a decent career. He had some moments in Philadelphia one year in particular. I know he put up some solid numbers, but it's been intermittent since then. But I hear that he's been making a little bit of noise and maybe getting on the same page with Garoppolo. Just, I mean, when I look at that room, though, that's a lot of bodies. And, you know, you figure Marquise Goodwin's not going anywhere. Dante Pettis isn't going anywhere. Deebo Samuel, Jalen Hurd, Trent Taylor. I know they have high hopes to be a slot guy. I mean, at some point, you're running out of bodies. Kendrick Bourne's a guy that's flashed at times. How legitimate is Jordan Matthews' bid to make this squad?
Jordan's been actually very good at practice again. He's one of those bigger body guys they didn't have. And it's kind of interesting that Kyle Shanahan, while he says it's not about size for wide receivers, it's about whether they can get separation if they can make good plays. But that group actually is 4 inches taller than it was last year on average.
Wow.
So, yeah.
They grew up.
It's not just an inch and a half. It's 4 inches taller average than last year, which is very interesting. So Matthews has been very good in practice. He can high point a ball in the end zone. And while they don't want a guy who can only be a red zone threat, he's also good in the slot. So what's made a difference, I think, for this group is having Wes Welker as a coach as well. They have all talked glowingly about how great of a coach he's been, how, you know, someone who's done it, being able to tell them how to make their game better has really made a difference.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you know, I just look around that offense now. You know, there's weapons. Obviously, George Kittle, you know, it's probably, it could be considered the best tight end in the game right now. And, you know, they've added to that wide receiver room in the draft. And then, you know, the running back class. I mean, you know, I already thought they had a pretty good room with, you know, Breida and Jerick McKinnon, who got hurt last year. He's coming back. And then they add Tevin Coleman. Would you expect Tevin to be the lead back there and get the majority of carries? How do you see that unfolding?
Well, I think Tevin will definitely be the lead at the beginning. I think they're going to be very careful with Jerick McKinnon. He still is not doing much other than running a little bit. So I think Tevin will be that lead guy going into the season. I think Jerick, they'll work him in, but they're definitely not going to put the entire workload on him coming up this season. So Tevin will be very important for the offense. He obviously worked with Shanahan when he was in Atlanta. Everybody talks about how he pretty much just got plugged in to the offense, and it's really him right now and Jeff Wilson from last year and another rookie who are taking all the handoffs in camp right now. So he's getting a lot of work. He's fit into the offense seamlessly. I think he'll definitely carry a lot of the load coming up in the fall.
All right, last one for you, Jennifer. The backup quarterback situation. I mean, look, Nick Mullins did a terrific job last year. I got to think he's got the inside track to be the backup, but I know that they don't want to undersell the acumen of C.J. Beathard. How do you see that shaping up? It's hard for me to picture Nick Mullins not being Jimmy Garoppolo's backup.
I think both of them have their strengths and weaknesses. I think one thing that TJ does have is his ability to throw the ball a little further. So his arm strength is a little better. Shane Day talked about how really what he's working on with him is having better pocket awareness. So obviously he was sacked a ton of times in his first 2 years.
Yeah.
And really that was kind of his fault. If he would get it, he could either throw the ball away, which is I think what a lot of fans were yelling at their TVs when they saw him play. If he was a little bit more aware, I think he could be very good. Mullins is, you know, very workable as well. But I think when you look at needing to get the ball down the field, opening it up, I think that's more of a challenge for him. So that's something, you know, arm strength you can build, but CJ's got that. So it's just really kind of keeping him aware in the pocket so that he doesn't take a sack, so that he doesn't get hurt. I think actually his arm strength is a little bit better. He obviously has another year in the system. So all things said, I think the competition is even, but I think CJ may have a leg up on Nick at this point.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Oh, sorry. I wanted to ask you about the State of the Franchise Symposium. Anything stand out to you from that?
I just think it was great that all the players were there and that there was so much positive energy. Everybody is completely excited. And you kind of really look at the franchise from the top down. And I know that, you know, everybody's had their moments being upset with Jed over the loss of Harbaugh. But, I mean, if you look at everything that's happened up until this point, people have to be really excited that it's Shanahan and Lynch heading the franchise at this point.
Yeah.
They have done such a great job. The players are excited to be there. They are happy. There's so much good energy. I think it's just, you know, when everybody gets in front of an audience like that, it's proof that they're building this locker room, and they, you know, it's obviously a rebuild is taking a lot longer than people would like. They want to see winning now, but it's just nice to see that kind of positive energy from the team, even though they haven't been able to be successful yet.
All right. Hey, Jennifer, good stuff. And now this is year three of this regime. It's time to put up some W's, no doubt about it. That's ultimately how this thing's going to be judged, on wins and losses. Hey, we'll be following you on Twitter @JenniferLeeChan. Appreciate your time on a Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of that coffee.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Good. From Jennifer Lee Chan. And by the way, yes, breaking news from the NBA. Kevin Durant cleared to practice. We talking about practice. Sorry. Go ahead. What are you saying there, Joe? Okay, yeah, we got Steve Kerr sound on Kevin Durant being cleared to practice. All right, yeah, go ahead, roll it. Thanks, bud.
He's going to practice with us today, and he'll get some extra work in with some of our younger players, and we'll gauge it from there. What he's going to do today, he hasn't done. So he's doing more today, and then we'll know more after that.
All right, so there you go. Hopefully Kevin Durant, this will be the first step towards him getting cleared to play tomorrow night. Spoiler alert. They could use the help right now. So game five, of course, is tomorrow night. So I think a lot of it will have to be how he feels out there, of course, and then how he reacts to it tomorrow. Of course, the Warriors are already up in Toronto. So here's hoping that KD plays. I mean, that's, you know, I'm going to break some news for you. They could definitely use him right now. And I think, you know, that would be like the effect of that, I think, would be on a couple of different levels. One, it would break some of this tension around, you know, his availability, and does he have the desire to play right now, which to me is so asinine. Like, if you knew anything about these guys, like, first of all, there's a three-peat on the line, and the guy's a two-time finals MVP. Of course he wants to be playing. Like, it's not even a question of if. We all saw the injury. When it happened, we thought, that dude just ruptured his Achilles tendon. Now, thankfully, it was a calf injury, but it was severe. Like, he's been out for a month, but there's no doubt that he wants to play. And I know I read Sam Amick's piece. I know I saw the tweets and that there's frustration coming out of the Warriors locker room. But you have to understand, too, it's only human nature. Like, even if they don't, quote, blame Kevin Durant, or there isn't credence to what, you know, to that report about, you know, the way the players were feeling. They had just lost game four of the NBA Finals. They're down 3-1. They just seen Kevon Looney go out there and play hurt. Klay Thompson go out there and play hurt. Even if it's not a rational thing to be angry about, even if you know in your heart of hearts it's not fair to put it on them, it's only natural that you kind of would, right? And a lot of it's because you know probably deep down that if you want to win the series, you need the guy. And it's almost like they're trying to wish it into existence. They're trying to wish him back to health. But I think Kevin Durant, like a lot of pros, probably most professional athletes, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. And I think it's asinine to think that, you know, he wouldn't want to play a regular season game in, you know, November, much less to come and help this team in the NBA Finals. I mean, you really, if you're one of those people that believes that, you really need to stop and just like kind of say it out loud. Like, Kevin Durant is saving himself for free agency. I mean, really? Like, there's just no way. The guy's a gym rat. He lives for this stuff. And all we hear about is, you know, KD's so aware of everything that's being said about him. He's so aware of all the, you know, talking heads on Twitter, etc. Well, if he's so aware of that, then that means he cares a whole hell of a lot about his legacy, right? And to not play in the NBA Finals, if you were capable of it, when your team desperately needed you the most, like, that's how you're going to go out? I mean, there's just no chance. There's no chance. So we need to be mindful of that. But if you're just joining us, Kevin Durant has been cleared to practice. We just heard from Steve Kerr. And let's face it, we know what the task is. Warriors got to win three straight, but it all starts with one. Let's hear a couple cuts from Draymond Green. The Warriors know what it's like being up 3-1 in an NBA Finals and seeing it all slip away. By the way, 34 times the team's been up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. 33 times they've gone on to win. We know what the one wasn't. That was the Cavs a couple years ago. We don't need to talk about that. Here's Draymond on being on the other side of 3-1.
I mean, that's important, you know, to have that pride, have the faith in what we're capable of. You know, like you said, just got to take it one game at a time. We got to win one game. We win one, then we'll build on that. You know, but I've been on the wrong side of 3-1 before, so why not make our own history?
Hear, hear. And, hey, like I said, you can't have a big-time comeback until you fall in a hole. One more from Draymond on 3 wins in a row.
Just keep guys' head up. Keep guys' belief up, you know. Got to win 3 games in a row. We've won 3 games in a row before. You know, however you got to get that done, you just got to get it done. But, you know, just talk to the guys. Don't, you know, don't read the press clippings. Don't watch, you know, the TV. Like, just believe what we believe. And, you know, go out there and give it what we got. And if we fail, you live with the results, you know, but just leave it all out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important to, you don't want to build it up too much. I mean, look, we know what's at stake here. Win or go home, right? Their backs to the wall. But almost at this point, because the Raptors are up 3-1, and I feel like basically collectively the sporting world has already handed the Raptors the Larry O'Brien trophy, I don't think that's the worst spot ever for the Warriors to be in right now. I really don't. Yeah, there's pressure, and they know if they lose, this could kind of be the end of the run, and we could have seen the last game at Oracle, and a whole lot of changes could happen this offseason. But at least they can go out there tomorrow night and just play with some freedom and just kind of let the chips fall where they may. As long as you leave it all out on the floor, I know it sounds cliche, but, I mean, really, what else can you do? And if KD can hit the ground running and the Warriors can get off to a good start, I think that can go a long way. Because think about this. If you're Toronto and you don't close them out in Game 5, all of a sudden things tighten up considerably. Because now you're coming back to Oracle for Game 6. Clearly, the crowd will be engaged. The Warriors will be back in their own gym. They'll have their MVP back. And, you know, you could see where that thing could get snowballing. But it all starts with one. They just have to find a way to win a basketball game on the road tomorrow night. And keep in mind, they've been the best road team in the NBA for the last half of a decade. Let's go to Van and Martinez real quick. Go ahead, Van.
Yo.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, Dan. Dan and Martinez.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Just two points. One, if the people that are saying these things about, oh, Kevin Durant doesn't want to play, I haven't even played. I played at a high school and a college, collegiate level, and the passion I had to play the game was so, you know, it was so heartfelt. They can't, people don't understand, unless you've played team sports and you've played the game and understand the team and putting it all, they're on the biggest stage. What I'm saying is, how could Kevin Durant, if you have played a team sport, you know what it feels like. These guys that are saying these things are more or less, you know, guys that have never played a team sport. All I've done is watch.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, for sure. And no, I appreciate the call, Dan. The deal is, though, it's so much easier to speculate and to throw shade. But I think what started to kind of give this story some legs was when the report was that the Warriors players were kind of like, yo, what's the deal, man? But I don't know. And, you know, Sam Amick's one of the best reporters in the business, so I'm not disputing the legitimacy of his story by any stretch. But I just feel like that was probably a little more of a product of their frustration, knowing how much they need him. And then you just watch Kevon Looney and Klay Thompson gut it out. But they're just different injuries. And, I mean, you know, the report like Jalen Rose had the other day about where he was at and, you know, about KD's workout. This is what he'd said. This was as of 2 days ago, and this is what kind of got everybody a little concerned.
His name is Kevin Durant, and I'm really familiar with the setup workout that KD had yesterday with the team, Mr. Big Shot and the Truth, and I'm going to tell you guys, it didn't go well on any level.
Wow.
It did not go well on any level. I'm just going to keep it at that. So I went from being a guy that thinking he may come back later in the series. Nah, God, I feel like he might not come back at all.
Ain't happening.
So that's kind of what also led to a lot of this uproar about his availability and, you know, will we even see him in the finals? All right, so if you're just joining us, Kevin Durant has been cleared to practice. On the other side, we'll re-rack that Steve Kerr sound. Do you still think the Warriors have a shot in this series? 888-957-9570. We got open phones for about the next half hour, so if you want to get in, this is your time to do it. We'll come back and take some calls right here. Ryan Covey with you, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
I love it when the guy says my name. All right, 888-957-9570. We got open phones for about the next 23 minutes before John Dickinson's going to join us. Breaking news, if you're just joining us, Kevin Durant cleared to practice. Let's hear the Steve Kerr sound first, and then we also got a little cut from Draymond Green as well. Here's Coach Kerr on KD's current status.
He's going to practice with us today, and he'll get some extra work in with some of our younger players, and we'll gauge it from there. What he's going to do today, he hasn't he hasn't done. So he's doing more today, and then we'll know more after that.
All right. That was, of course, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. So still, you know, going to under-promise and over-deliver. I think that's probably the way to handle this at this point if you're Steve Kerr. When he was on with Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on Friday, you could tell there was a level of irritation around the constant Kevin Durant questioning. And look, that's just if one of your superstar players is out and it's the NBA Finals, coach, you're going to get asked about it, especially when they haven't made a definitive statement about his availability. They just said it's day-to-day. So if it's day-to-day, then we need to get updates day-to-day, right? But this is a positive development. Let me ask you this, at 888-957-9570, if KD plays tomorrow night, do you think that could be enough to get this series turned around for the Golden State Warriors? Is it going to be too much to ask a guy that's been out for a month to all of a sudden get plugged into an NBA Finals series that's physical, where Toronto has set the tone, they're long, they're athletic, and Kawhi Leonard is leading the charge like the cerebral assassin that he is? Is KD going to be enough? 888-957-9570, assuming he plays, could that be the catalyst for a switch in this series and an epic comeback? What say you? Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Let's hear from Draymond Green. Here's what he said. Go ahead.
For him to be practicing today means he's, you know, taking steps in the right direction. And, you know, we'll see what that means for tomorrow. Obviously, hopefully it means, you know, he's able to play and, you know, give whatever he can to, you know, to the team.
All right, there you go. So I think, again, there's some cautious optimism, and we got to see how he responds to this. But to have Kevin Durant back on the floor, will it be enough? What say you at 888-957-9570? Let's go to Sparky in Lafayette. Go ahead, Sparky.
Ryan, what's going on, brother?
Chilling, man. What's up with you?
Hey, good. Hey, just real fast. Hey, I kind of bought into the narrative with, you know, we were getting spoon-fed from TNT and NBA before the series started that whoever – won the Houston Warriors series is going to be the, no disrespect to Toronto, but they kept spoon feeding us that hey, whoever wins the Houston Warriors series is going to win the title. So right. I think I can, and I'm not a homer or anything. I mean, I've been, you know, Sleepy Floyd and Joe Smith was the next Jordan. That's how far I go back. But
fair enough.
Just real fast on tomorrow night. Now, of course, KD, you know, he's going to be a little slow in the giddy up, but you know, just having him on the court, he doesn't have to go out and win the game, but he's going to draw Siakam. He's going to draw somebody to guard him, and maybe that frees up Clay, Curry, even, you know, Iggy to the lane. I mean, just having him on the court, I think that might be the best way to use him, and that might be the best way he can score buckets. It's just kind of do not so much as a catch and shoot, but, you know, just kind of stay around the perimeter and hit those 10, 12-foot jumpers. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I think, well, there's so many different ways he can be deployed. And I appreciate the call, Sparky. Appreciate you checking in. There's so many different ways that Kevin Durant can be deployed. Obviously, the instant offense factor when things get bogged down, the fact that he can just hit that little turnaround pull-up with ease. Now, again, you wonder, you know, him being off for a month, this is just the first time he's practiced. I know he's had some on-court activities behind closed doors, et cetera, but obviously they haven't felt well enough about those activities to clear him to play in the NBA Finals. But should he get cleared to just be thrust into Game 5 of the NBA Finals, especially, you know, up in Toronto, on the road, that environment is going to be raucous. And I know that he's been frothing. He's been chomping at the bit for the opportunity to play. But it could be a lot. Well, it for sure will be a lot to ask. But to whom much is given, much is expected. And I think what it will do is clearly command a presence. Now, if I'm Toronto, I am making sure that KD has to work for everything he gets. Physical, like I'm playing him real tough, maybe even, you know, give him a couple of fouls early on. At this point, I'd focus on doubling Kevin Durant, if they're even going to double at all, and make the Warriors jump shooters beat me. Because I think, regardless of where KD's at, Klay Thompson's hurt right now with the hamstring, and I thought he played terrific in Game 4. I think a lot of that was adrenaline. You hope that he can sustain it for Game 5. What did we see from Steph Curry in Game 4? He had the big performance in Game 3, ran out of gas a little bit in Game 4. So I would make the Warriors jump shooters beat me if I'm Toronto. I would just pack the paint, same way they did against the Milwaukee Bucks, and keep the Warriors out on the perimeter. Because if the Warriors are going to shoot 8 for 27 from three-point range again, they have zero chance of winning the series. Like, the Splash Brothers need to come correct. And I know that, you know, collectively the numbers were solid. They took 40 shots, ended up combining for, what, 55 points? Pretty good. but they're going to need more. They're going to probably need more like 65. And if KD plays, you know, what do you hope to get, like 20 to 25 points from him? So what say you at 888-957-9570? If Kevin Durant can play in game five, is that going to be enough to get this series turned around? Let's get back out to the phone. Let's go to Rick in San Francisco. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, man? First time caller.
Appreciate you checking in, brother.
Guys. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think Kevin Durant is the greatest player in the world, and he's going to come out. He has a lot to prove, and he's going to shut everybody up that says he can't do it. So I think he's going to come out really strong, and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they're going to step up. Draymond Green is going to have a crazy game. Watch. He's going to come out. He's going to leave it all on the court. And I think all those guys are going to leave it all on the court, and they're going to win.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rick. It'd be this, you know, just all they can worry about right now is game five. And, you know, the other thing having Kevin Durant back in the lineup does is it asks guys like Draymond to do a little less of the lifting offensively. He can focus on what he does best, which is being a defensive stopper and getting out and igniting fast breaks and keeping that ball moving. So the trickle-down effect will be less minutes for, you know, the Quinn Cooks and the Alphonso McKinneys of the world, again, provided that KD can hold up. And then, again, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but I did ask the question, if Kevin Durant plays, can he be enough to get this series turned around? And he still hasn't been cleared for action in Game 5. He's just practicing today. But hey, that's a step in the right direction, and let's be real. If he can make it through a practice, I imagine that he's probably going to play. Let's go to TJ in San Mateo. Go ahead, TJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just want to see in Game 5, and I want to hear your thoughts. We know that Sean Livingston is not a three-point shooter.
No.
And we know that Draymond and Iggy aren't three-point shooters. And then when they bait Iggy and Draymond to shoot that three, I'd like to see Draymond and Iggy just drive the lane and lob it up. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure, TJ. I appreciate you checking in. And I mean, especially in regards to Draymond, I've been saying that all year. Like when they leave you on the perimeter and they leave you unguarded, just attack the basket, because at some point they're going to have to collapse on you, and then you can kick it to the corner, you know, to an open 3-point shooter. Draymond's a terrific passer. So in those instances, I would like to see him attack the cup. For some reason, there's been a reluctance to do that. You know, I think some of it might have to do with fatigue. He's been asked to play a lot of minutes. He would never admit that, but he's having to expend a ton of energy protecting the paint, especially in this series when he hasn't gotten the help from guys like Bogut and Cousins because they have their limitations physically right now. Then you culminate that with the Kevon Looney injury and Kevin Durant being out. Draymond Green's been asked to do a lot, and really, Steve Kerr can't afford to give him, like, hardly any rest right now. So I would like to see him attack the basket. As far as Andre Iguodala, and I know this is going to piss off those people on the text line, he's hurt. Like, watch the guy. And it sucks because that's $16 million of your payroll that you're getting basically, like, 60% from. And when guys are hurt, you see it in their legs, right? And with three-point shooting in particular, it's all in the release. It's all in the form. And if you're fatigued, the shot's going to be the first thing to go. And I think Andre Iguodala, he's at the front of that list. A guy's just running out of gas. And I'm not gonna, you know, rake him over the coals for that. I'm just not. Like, I'm sorry. What these guys have accomplished the last few years, it matters to me. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm cognizant of the big picture here. Now, does that mean that it's going to help them win this series, what he did a couple of years ago? No, of course not. But it also means, hey, I'm not going to sleep on these guys either and what they're capable of doing, because without question, they're capable of winning this game tomorrow and pushing this thing back to Oracle for Game 6. And I think having Kevin Durant in the lineup, that could give them that emotional lift. And I think, you know, as long as they can carry that and not get down too much in the game, I think if you fall behind by, you know, 12 points, 15 points in this game, I think you're done. I do. I think the Warriors have to get off to a fast start and play with the lead or the game within a couple of buckets. I think if Toronto pours it on at any point, you could see this thing get out of hand. Because what I've seen when the Warriors have gotten down in this series, against Portland, they were able to still implement their offense and get rolling and get back into it. But Toronto's different, okay? Toronto, the way that they defend, they've got elite defenders that are harassing the ball handlers for the Golden State Warriors. So When the Warriors go down to Toronto, then I think they become overly reliant on the three-point shot. They try and get everything back so quickly. It's like it's basically like, you know, when you're playing blackjack and, you know, you lose $100 real quick. Or you're like, well, let's pull out another 100. Let's double down real quick and try and make it all back. It's like, now you got to earn it. You still got to work for it. And I think at times I've seen the Warriors settle for not great shots that they would say, oh, that's a, quote, open look. But is it like there's a difference between an open look and a good look? And I think at times they've been, you know, they want to try and kickstart the run where it's like, no, you got to that's predicated on getting stops and getting out and running and letting it come natural, not trying to force it. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Game 5 of the NBA Finals will be right here tomorrow night on 95.7 The Game. And we're going to be joined by John Dickinson from Toronto here in about 20 minutes. So you want to stay tuned for that. Let's go to Brett in San Jose. Brett, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, brother.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate everything that everyone, all the callers and you've been saying. It's going to be a trickle effect. KD's one of those people that other players lose sleep over. Coaches lose sleep over. This guy comes back and goes on the other team's game plan board, changes everything up. Right now, they're beating the Warriors, but when Kevin Durant comes back, it's a whole other aspect. And other players don't have to try to make shots like Cook. McKinney can go back to focusing on rebounds. Everybody is going to get that taste of blood. You know, they're going to, if Warriors come out strong with Kevin Durant and punch Toronto in the mouth, I think everyone's just going to get that igniting charge, like Shane Falco, you know what I mean? From that,
from the replacements,
you know?
Yeah.
And I just think it's like a WWE storyline, you know, you're getting beat up in the ring. Your tag team partner that you've had a riff with the whole, you know, in the last episode, and he comes out, his music comes on, and all of a sudden you're rejuiced and re-energized. I think everyone's just going to follow suit and follow KD's lead, and the Warriors are going to win.
All right, thanks, Brett. I love it. Got the WWE analogy in there. The Stone Cold glass shatters. Here comes Stone Cold crushing some beers over his head and handing out some stunners. KD's going to come out there. Stunner for Siakam. Boom. Stunner for Gasol. Oh, what's up, Lowry? You want some stunner for Lowry? All right, now I'm starting to get fired up. All right, let's go to Johnny in the city. Go ahead, Johnny. You're on 95.7 The Game. What's happening, brother?
I was listening to your... Oh, hi.
Hi.
I was listening to one of your callers say that KD has to prove something. KD doesn't have to prove anything.
I agree.
He helped them win 2 championships.
Thank you.
The dude is hurt. Anybody that's questioning his heart, they're idiots.
I agree.
Twitter people talking about him, saying he's, why is he out there? As soon as his teammates are questioning his heart, the doctors shut him down. He has no control over it. The doctors say he can't play, yet he can't play. Why would he risk himself and his health beyond basketball to go out there hurt and make it worse? Maybe he ruptures it. Anybody that's questioning this dude are stupid to the nth degree.
I agree.
And you know what? Like I said, if his teammates are questioning him, let's say he comes back and he plays and they somehow will miraculously win it. He will not have to ever prove anything again, not that he has to anyway. And then he's got the question, like, why did his teammates have doubts about him?
Well, that was reported as there was some murmurs. I don't think there's anything concrete. I appreciate the call, and I think it's important that we remember that. KD doesn't have a damn thing to prove to anybody. And, you know, regardless of how this ends, and I get it, like, Warriors fans, you want to win a title. No doubt about it. You're this close. They got a chance to do, win a three-peat, 4 titles in 5 years. This is what this has all been working towards this past season, and really, quite frankly, for the last half of a decade. I get all of that. Kevin Durant came here as a free agent 3 years ago. His first 2 years, he was the finals MVP, okay? For the Warriors as a franchise to even win 1 title, like 6 or 7 years ago, that would have been like the craziest thought ever. The Golden State Warriors winning a title, right? God forbid to win 2 or 3 or go to 5 straight finals. And make no mistake about it, Kevin Durant, the catalyst in all of that, okay? So lest we forget.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.